Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news and every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Your Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your daily source of everything Team San Jose. Once again, because we're winding down to the end of the season, we're going to start ramping up our draft coverage because that was more exciting than whatever the shit they did this season. So once again, we're bringing on another expert to talk about a prospect. This one isn't a top of the draft like we've done with a couple of the last couple guys. He's more in the middle, maybe towards the upper, lower, middle class kind of guy in the middle, but maybe there's something there. And maybe if the Sharks fall out of that solid top 10 range and into like 11, 12, maybe he's a guy, but we'll get into that in a second. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me as always is Eric. JD has still been on his meat smoking odyssey. So he may be just lost forever to the meat gods. He's moving back to South Carolina to be one with his people. And we're just never going to see him again. So Eric, let's talk about Xavier Bourgault. And you can't butcher his name because his last name's easy. It's Bourgault.
Yeah, Xavier Bourgault. I'm not like a total American when it comes to these pronunciations. The Leru was a little that was a little rough for me. But like I know the A-U-L-T ending here. Come on, man. Come on. All right. He's 6 foot tall, right in my sweet spot.
He is a French.
He's a French. 172 pound. Forward, he's been playing both center and wing this season, so we'll call him a forward in the queue. He's currently ranked 17th according to Bob McKenzie's poll of 10 NHL scouts, and he's ranked 24th according to Colin Cudmore's aggregate list list of different rankings from folks in the scoutosphere. Last year, his D-1 season in the queue was a top 10 season scoring wise since 2000-2001, which is impressive. And this year, his draft year scoring is still the 98th percentile per elite prospect. So really exciting. If you put those together with Byron Bader's hockey prospecting model, it gives him a 15% chance of becoming a star scorer. Ooh, in the NHL. Yeah, 15 is nice.
I'm just convinced he hates Atu Ratu because there's no way that he's at 5 and these random fools are at 15 and
20. Well, it's because he didn't score that much.
That's fine.
So moving on. And a 53% chance of becoming an NHLer. So as a refresher, average is about 5% chance of becoming a star and about 25% chance of becoming an NHLer. So he's well above those thresholds. And then finally, Simo Tipperi created a model where you kind of puts together a bunch of different things. So a player's individual scoring rate, their impact on team scoring, on goal, on ice goals for, off ice goals for, and that sort of thing. And Bourgault ranks 8 out of 228 forwards, yeah, that are in the model this year. The one thing I would caution is that he's on a pretty loaded Shawinigan Cataracts team, and his impact on even strength scoring network wasn't quite as high as his own. And so there's potentially an issue with him leaning on some of his perhaps better teammates for some of his points. But to get to that, we can introduce our guest.
Vasily Ponomaryov is on this team. Okay. Anyway, classic NHL 21, top of the draft for some reason, every single time I've done it. Let's bring in our guest to talk Bourgault. We have with us, the expert is Josh Bell, director. Ooh, director. That's fancy. Are you still a director?
I am. Yeah.
So director of content, very fancy, and Eastern Canada scout for FC Hockey. So that's two FC Hockey guys in a row. Congrats to FC Hockey for coming on the show a lot. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. It's a lot of hockey this week with the U18. So happy to chat about outside UH 216th.
Who's your favorite child, Shane Wright or Connor Bedard?
Ooh, that's tough. I don't know if I can decide that without even including Matvei Michkov.
Really? What about Brad Lambert? Do you want to include him too, just to get the four fun pack?
Well, kind of. Yeah, we have to talk about all four of them if we're going to talk about them. It's just setting us up for a couple of exciting drafts.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be super pumped and the Sharks super suck. So this could be good, fertile ground. But the thing with Bourgault is, like Eric said, he plays on a stacked Shawinigan team. Like Ponomariov is on there. And most notably, 30th overall last year, Maverick Bourque. Why is Bourgault going in the teens where Maverick Bourque went at the end of round one, when Maverick Bourque seemingly scores better?
Yeah, it's important to note that Bourgault and Bourque play on the same line.
Oh, that's so fun.
I do think that Bourque drives a lot of that. I think he's definitely their top guy. Bourgault on a different line, maybe he carries, but I think he can kind of be a passenger at times to Maverick Bourque. It just comes natural. Anybody playing with Bourque would probably be a passenger.
Okay, that's fair. So if he's riding Maverick Bourque, what does Bourgault bring to that line then? What's his best thing?
His ability to find space. So in all three zones, he just has an ability to almost disappear to the opponent, and he can slip behind them. And all of a sudden, if you're in the defensive end, he'll slip behind you, outlet pass, he's gone. In the offensive zone, he can slip behind the defenders, he's open for the tap in, or create space for other guys. So he get the puck and draw defenders out, open up space behind them to open up lanes.
Is he fast? Like, is he breaking out of his own zone with speed, or is he just super, super smart and intellectual where he sees the defenseman turn his head and he's like, well, I'm out of here?
It's definitely the intelligence. His skating is probably one of his weaker attributes.
Oh, good. That's two people in a row.
But yeah, he's a very, very smart player. So he knows where to be. He knows when to be there. He knows where everybody else is going to be. So the speed, it's always nice to have, but he does make do.
Does he have sort of the like high-end skill, whether it's shooting or puck handling kind of thing that we're looking for, or how do those facets of his game rank?
Yeah, I do think he's a good shot. Maybe not the hardest, but it is accurate. And his playmaking is very good. So that's probably what he'll bring to the next level is as a playmaking, probably winger. But yeah, the intelligence is kind of the trait that stands out. So hopefully he can put that together at the next level.
You say that he played all over, because we have our gripes that everybody's a center when it comes to drafting. And you said he's played all over. Where would you kind of project him at the next level? Being a guy that's really smart and a playmaker, but maybe not the fastest or hardest shooter, where do you see him playing center, or is he going to be your prototypical playmaking winger?
I think he's probably going to shift to the wing permanently moving up. I believe last season he was mainly a center, but now he's shifted to the wing. And I've seen a few games where he actually goes back and forth, and he seems a little bit out of place when he goes to center. So I think he'll stick to the wing at the next level probably.
Is he involved in the transition game at all, or is he sort of like let that happen through the other guys and get open when they get over the blue line?
Yeah, he's kind of the guy that he can maybe cheat a little bit at times. So you sneak behind and get the pass. So he's not leading the transition, but he's not leading it from his own zone, but through the neutral zone into the offensive zone, he could have the puck. So he's, I think right now he's probably my number two guy in the queue. Zach Dean.
Whoa. He's been polarizing based on the last few people we've had. I think Tony Ferrari was sort of meh on him.
Yeah.
Someone else before that was excited about him, but I've seen his name pop up a little bit. Yeah, Braden Olofsson. I've seen his name pop up a little bit here and there on Twitter a little more. So that's interesting.
Yeah, he's kind of had a tough year because he started the first half injured, and then he started started finding his game, went on a tear, and then he got hurt again. So that might hurt his stock a little bit, but he's just so fun to watch.
Investing can be complicated. Whether you're a beginner or have been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diverse, low-cost index funds personalized for you in just minutes. They can even help you lower your taxes as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's Wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL to start growing your savings.
Okay. Is he fun in that he's the complete player, or fun in that?
Offensively. So he's that guy that is just absolutely fearless. He'll split the D. He's got the speed that he can sneak in behind them. And he just kind of creates chaos in the offensive zone, which is what you want. So he's definitely my top guy.
Oh, sorry. So who would be your third Q guy behind Bourgo then?
For that, it would be Leroux.
Okay. So then what we've covered Leroux. So what kind of puts Bourgo second? Is it just because Bourgo is the smartest player arguably in this draft, or is there other things that Bourgo puts himself above Leroux and Bolduc in them?
So definitely the intelligence. I wouldn't say the most intelligent in the draft, but out of the Q maybe. But Leroux, I think he has the talent and the skill to be the number one guy in the Q, but there are just issues with his consistency, his effort, and then obviously with four suspensions this year, that has to be brought up a little bit. I think it might have been Bob McKenzie actually who compared him to Brad Marchand. So you can love or hate that.
I mean,
the skill is amazing. Pests are fine as long as they're not, you know, doing dirty shit and they have the skill to go with it. But if he's like Ryan Reeves, then forget about it.
Definitely more of a Marchand, but there are just some questions of his game this year.
Got it. And then so back to Bourgo, how is he defensively? Is that an issue? Like a lot of these guys seem to be like good defensively and bad defensively, or is he okay there?
He's kind of in the middle. It's not a strong suit, but it's not a weakness. He can hold his own. The big thing with him is I do think he can cheat a little bit. So he's kind of looking to produce offense more, which can make him lose his assignment in his own zone. But when defending the cycle and everything, he's pretty solid.
So when he's engaged in the defensive end, he's perfectly fine.
Yep.
Coaches aren't going to be like, he needs to work on his details. And then everybody has to figure out what the hell details mean.
No, I think he's okay. He's like I said, it's not his strong suit, but you can throw him out there and he'll do the right things.
So when he gets to the NHL, because he's going to be drafted in the first round and stuff like that, when he gets to the NHL, what's a team going to want him to work on in his D+1 year? Obviously skating's a thing. Is he a dreadful skater, or is it just something they need to tweak some mechanics and he's going to be fine?
I was just going to say, I think it's the mechanics. Just his stride can be a little bit choppy. Just the extensions, the recoil is just not where
it's not
you
the
want
worst.
It
is not the worst. You can fix that kind of stuff. Like John Tavares, exactly. Every Strome brother has never been able to skate. So like, it's fine. So what's the next thing that he's going to have to work on?
Other than that, I do think it's that compete in the, especially in his own zone, not cheating, making sure he's always focused on the puck, not trying to cheat for offense. Just always
love engaged. but we love offense. No, coaches, NHL coaches hate anybody who's not fitting into their mold. So is he going to be a guy that is on the bad side of a coach because he does cheat and stuff like that? Or is this, it's just a little bit of a, hey, don't be such a dummy.
I think it's just the league too. Like he can get away with it now. I think just because he can hold his own in the defensive zone, the next level when he needs to a little bit more, I think he will. I think it'll come with the development.
Interesting. So then why is he so low? Because he sounds like he's good and he's got a lot of desirable assets, and the things that he needs to do kind of just need to be tweaked a little bit. Mm-hmm. So why is he 17 and compared to, like, we just did Chaz Lucius recently, who's like 8, 9, 10, or Mason McTavish, who's like 11 now. Why is he not up there, and why is he kind of towards the back half?
I don't see Bourgo as a top line guy.
Okay.
He could be a second line, but middle six is probably where he goes. McTavish, Lucius, some of those other guys in the teens, they have the potential, their ceiling would be top line guys. And I don't really see that with Bourgo.
Where does he top out at?
I think second line. I think
everybody's a second liner in this draft.
There's a lot of second line.
There's every single person is a second liner.
Yeah. You hear everybody talk about it being not a deep draft, or sorry, I guess a weaker draft. And it's just that you don't have, like, you look at last year and everybody's like, oh yeah, through the first line ceiling. But this year it's hit and miss.
So, all right. So guys in his range on Bob's list, other forwards. So we have Bolduc, obviously you have Bourgo ranked ahead of him. So that's easy. Sillinger's at 13. Aturatu's at 20. You got Chibrikov, Isaac Rosen and Matthew Coronado are 21, 22, 23. Who are you taking of that group? Or what's your order for those, that handful of forwards?
You threw a lot of names out there. Can you go?
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That was, you must
that
remember.
That was awful. That was awful of me. Okay. So we got Sillinger, Bolduc and Bourgault, and then let's do Ratu and Coronado.
Sillinger is the guy I take there.
Okay.
I think his ceiling is just the highest. You watch him. I really wish he could have been playing in the U18s. I think he is probably one of the more offensively skilled players in this draft. Hopefully he can kind of clean up the defensive end and his skating a little bit. But he's just one of the most fun players in this draft.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. We've talked about Sillinger. He seems, perhaps this is my poor interpretation of it, like a little bit of a one trick pony. Like his shot is incredible, but he's not, you know, making the plays or creating the plays himself sort of thing. And so he needs like a good playmaker alongside him in order to produce a ton.
Maybe coming into the USHL, that's just, he started out that way. His shot's definitely great. But I think as the season's gone on, especially, he's definitely shown that playmaking ability, that work ethic. I think he does kind of provide everything you want in a guy who's going to provide you offense. We saw it at the All-American All-Star game while the USHL guys got bumped. He did look good and he was kind of getting involved all over. So.
Got it. And feel free to tell us we're wrong. I'm not a scout. I'm like providing you my interpretation. Yeah. My interpretation of other conversations similar to this one that we've had and reading stuff. So if I throw something out there, just be like, no, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
please shut up and stop talking.
Yeah.
I'll try to let you down easy.
So what's going to make Bourgault not reach his ceiling? Like, I'm just trying to get a handle on where we're going with Bourgault if somebody takes him in the team. Is he okay? Let's rephrase this. Is Bourgault a guy that teams are going to take a chance on at like 10 or 11 and be like, you know what? This is our guy. We like what we have. And they're just going to grab him.
I don't think so. I think he's kind of stuck in that bottom third of the first.
So he'll go down more than up, most likely.
I think so, especially because he is a little bit older in this draft. I think he's like a month away from the 2020 NHL draft.
So if anything, October 22nd birthday.
Yeah. So if anything, he'll go down a little bit. But yeah, to get to the next level and to hit that ceiling, I definitely want to see his skating improve. So fix those mechanics. And just that, like I said, that overall compete, just never giving up on a play, always involved all over in all three zones. And then I think he could reach it. I think he's one of those guys where the floor might be a little bit higher too. So I think he'll be an NHLer.
So you think his floor is NHL player?
It's always,
I know it's tough to say that, but
yeah, you watch him play and I feel like it's hard to not see him as an NHL guy.
Yeah. The fact that the fact that you mentioned though, that he like could stand to work on his compete, makes me think maybe he's got a little bit of a lower floor, because like that's the major thing that seems like coaches at the next level want to see is guys who don't give up on plays, guys who are always getting after pucks. And so if he can't figure that out, it seems like he might be challenged to get into lineups.
Yeah, and that's fair. I think it's I think it comes down to the league he plays in though, and he can kind of get away with it right now. So even in the AHL, he won't get away with it. So he'll have to fight for the pucks. And so I think that'll be the big test to see where he's going to fall in the NHL if he gets there, is how he transitions.
We've covered some guys like Fabian Lysell, who's just not a bottom six player. Never in his life will he be playing on the bottom six. And if coaches do that, they shouldn't be a coach. Is Bourgault a guy that could slot into your bottom six? Does he have that skill set, penalty killing ability, or is he a guy that needs to be in the top six? And if he doesn't hit that, then we're just not talking about him.
I think he could. I brought up his defensive game. It's not the best. It's okay. So I think if he adapts, he could fall into that role. He does show that adaptability now, like shifting positions, and he's used in all situations now. So yeah, if he can kind of improve that, like he's, he's not a strong poke checker. He's a little bit too upright, so he doesn't have that big reach. So just little things like that, if he can improve, then yeah, I think he could be a bottom six guy still.
This time last year, I was at a sports therapy massage and received a lovely compliment about the strength of my thighs. I went recently again, and turns out I need to work on both my glutes and my lower abs. So this guy's been letting things slip a little bit. That's why I've turned to Built Bar. Built Bar is a low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber way to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're great for a keto diet or just adding a little bit more protein into your diet. Now they come with amazing flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp to go with the 12 original flavors. And today, when you go to builtbar.com and use a promo LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, head to builtbar.com and use a promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order.
If you're like me and your dad taught you how to gamble at the age of 10, I've got the site for you. It's BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. If you're a degenerate and don't watch baseball, but you definitely know how to gamble on baseball, baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action at BetOnline. If you bet on weird sports like horse racing, that's in full swing. If you bet on random golf tournaments that aren't the majors, you can do that too. Maybe there's some curling action that you can get in on BetOnline. It's all there, and get all the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs. Before the next pitch, if you watch baseball, head over to BetOnline. And if you don't, you can still head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out the odds and all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Not the worst.
Versatile.
Taking out the back half of the first round. Not so much in the Sharks range, but you got to swing for the fences. He's not a game breaker, right?
No, he's a guy that I feel like is a safe pick, but he's not. I don't think he's going to be a star.
Ooh, we don't like safe picks.
Yeah,
we don't like safe picks. We like big big swings.
Give us a Ryan Merkley's.
Yeah. Who is there? Is there anyone in his range, in Burgo's range, kind of in this section of the first round that you think could be more of a swing or has that potential game breaker upside?
Ratu.
He's the guy that I'm kind of lower on because I did a deep dive on him and I just
no.
But around that range, I'm looking at FCU's rankings here. Mm-hmm. But we talked about him, Zachary Leroux. I think you look at that and maybe he's the Brad Marchand. Maybe the compete and the suspensions get in the way of him really moving up to the NHL at all. So I think he's a guy that teams could take a swing on. He's a guy that could climb up into the top half of the first, maybe.
Top half of the first.
Interesting.
I feel like he started the year and he was in everybody's top half. I think for us, he was in the top 12 on our preliminary rankings back in November. And yeah, it's just been the suspensions and the effort. Although I do think the effort's improved over the year, the suspensions have seemed to get worse.
Deproved. You gotta make room in your top 15 for Sebastian Cosa. Anytime you can do that, you gotta.
Oh, we might. We'll see. the start to his year has just been unreal. I'm all about the goalies. Like I want Wahlstedt in the top three. I want Costa higher. I want Gaudreau in there too.
Hell yes. Give me the Wahlstedt chaos every single draft. This is what I want. But to a good team that'll take care of him, like Detroit. Yeah. Don't send him to like Buffalo or something. Get out of here.
Vancouver.
Oh yeah, or Vancouver. Utica, the death of Utica. You said you were lower on Ratu.
Yeah. So
that's all I have. I'm in shock.
That was the question. So I did a deep dive on him. So I watched, I don't even know how many games of his and highlights and just went through tape on his shifts. And if you look at all of his traits, they're very good. So he's got a good shot. He's good at passing. He's good playmaking, but when you try to put it all together, it doesn't add up. He doesn't have the processing ability and the decision-making. So that kind of worries me because those are two things where you need to have those to move forward at all. He's had some games where he looks like he can maybe be an NHLer or maybe even like a top six guy. And then he's had some where I just have no idea what he's doing. There was one clip where he got the puck in the neutral zone and he was pressured and he turned around and skated all the way back to his own net with the puck, with pressure on, got stripped of the puck, and it was a golden opportunity for a goal.
Oh man, this sounds like exactly the guy I want.
There's a few plays like that. And so you just think, what are you doing right now? So there's definitely some things that maybe he can hang his hat on at the next level. But yeah, he just worries me a little too much.
Damn, what a lunatic. I want that. I want that in the organization. So last year, the Sharks drafted, I don't know if you've ever deep dove the 2020 Sharks draft, but we think it's pretty good. They have Ozzie Weisblatt and Tristan Robbins, Gushin, Brandon Coe, and Thomas Bortolo kind of as their headliners. Does Bourgault, if they ended up drafting Bourgault, would he fit in with that group or is he going to be something completely different?
I think he's a little bit different. I feel like those guys are all a little bit more higher skill. I think there's a better potential with those guys. I think he's the guy that you bring in to be that safe pick. Like I mentioned, he's that guy that, okay, we've got the high skill guys. Now we need the guys to support them and get them the puck. And that could be Bourgault.
Ooh, okay. Okay. He would have to play center though.
Yeah,
one of these guys has to play center.
He spent a lot of time center. Maybe that's where they stick him, but I feel like he's probably gonna be a winger.
Which of these forwards in the first round do you think can actually play center? I feel like it's very limited based on
Yeah, it's tough. I think Eklund and Beniers.
Eklund.
And that might be it. Like, I think Chaz Lucius maybe, Sillinger maybe. I think they're borderline, but I think a lot of these guys end up shifting.
Even Ratu, huh?
Yeah,
he hates Ratu.
Yeah,
that's true. That was a dumb question. But
I thought you were gonna say even Kent Johnson because he's like one of the higher ranked centers, right?
Well, William Eklund played wing though.
Yeah, he's wing all year. I feel like he'll stick in the wing.
William Eklund is listed as a left wing.
As a winger, yeah.
Yeah, but he was playing center with Holtz.
Jesus Christ.
No, that's so weird, man. Yeah. I don't know where people get these listings from.
No, all right. It's hard. You either put forward and everyone rips you apart in the exact position, or you guess.
How does Bourgault rate against the 2020 class? Would he be a first rounder in 2020, or is he slipping down?
Second rounder. I think he slips down. I think I think most of the guys in the first round of this class, 2021, would be second round at best.
Who wouldn't be?
I think you could like cut the draft in half almost, or the first round, sorry. And then maybe there's a few that would sneak in, but yeah, it's tough.
So that like power, like 12, 13 guys that we always constantly hear about, your Lysells, your Lucius, Eklund, Clark, they would all be first rounders. And then when you're getting down into like the Pastiovs and Robertsons and Svechkovs, they would be the guys that would kind of swap it.
Borderline, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are you big on Mackie Samuskevich? We're recording this on the same day that we did Chaz Lucius, so Mackie is like fresh in our brains.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. I really like him. He's a guy we've kind of pushed up into our first round over the year. Him and Coronado is just, they're so much fun to watch. But yeah, I think they're both first rounders for me.
What about the boy from Omaha or playing in Omaha? Ayrton Martino.
Is there ever Schmartino?
I think it was such a good decision on his part to transfer from the BCHL to USHL.
Oh yeah.
Because he might have been a mid round guy if he didn't play this year. But he's just lit it up. Him and Cole Sillinger they've torn the league apart. He's right on the edge of our first round for FC. I think for me, he could be a guy that creeps in. He's one of those guys that kind of fits the Shark class of last year. I find that high skill guy that you just want on your team.
Hell yeah.
I love it. So, all right. So we kind of talked a little bit, you said Leroux might be, or at least in the team's range. What other players in this class do you see with game breaker potential?
Game breaker.
Or like someone who could be a star if that's too nebulous of a.
Yeah, I think I think Luke Hughes is a guy that I've been high on all year. I think he's my number one. I think his ceiling is probably the highest. He's 6 days away from the 2022 class. So everything he's done, he's doing it younger than everyone else in this class. I think he's got the potential to be a top line D and a star for a team. And I think Brant Clark is right there with him. We're seeing it right now with the U18s. He's their number one guy, and he's performing. All the questions that people had with him over the year, he's kind of putting those to bed right now. There's some issues with his skating, but he's strong. He's exciting to watch.
So this is perfect, because it leads us right into our final two questions, our blood packed questions, that we will be writing in blood and stone.
Awesome.
It's 2026. We're all old now. We're looking back at this draft. Who is the single best player to come out of this draft?
Jesper Wallstedt.
Oh, so you're you're a goalie guy as well?
I'm going with the goalie. I feel like this is Andre Vasilevskiy all over again. It looks that way. Like, it's always hard to tell, but what he's doing this year in the SHL is unheard of for draft eligible. They don't play a starting role in a top men's league in Europe and then bust. It doesn't happen. Any guys who play over in Europe or Russia as a top guy in the KHL, SHL, Liga, wherever else, they always pan out. And that was Byron Bader who kind of did that. He had an article about that, I think. So I feel like he's the guy that we're going to look back on why didn't he go first?
Love it for my boy, Lucas Dostal. Okay, so if it's not Wallstedt, if Wallstedt's the goalie, so you get, because you picked the goalie, you get another choice of player. Just not because Wallstedt won't be, just because most likely there's one goalie that's going in the top. So who's okay. The forward? Who's the best forward or defenseman? Skater, I should say.
I'll stick with Luke Hughes. I feel like he's the guy that's just going to pan out. He's his ceiling's high, and he just moves the puck so well. He's so smart, and I feel he's not going to be the exact same as Quinn Hughes, but I can't see an NHL without him moving forward.
All right. And the last question, and you have to put your name on this. Yeah. What number is Xavier Bourgault going?
Oh, that's hard. I feel like
we know. That's why we asked you last.
This draft is so interesting, because even in the top 10, you have no idea the order.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 24.
24.
24. I think he's right in that range. We've got him a little bit lower at FC. I've seen him a little bit higher too, but 24, I think he's probably the second or third Q guy to go.
Second or third. Oh, because Bolduc and Leroux would be the two first ones.
Not Bolduc for me, but I think he'll probably go higher yet.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Okay, so 24. I think he might have been our lowest guy yet, other than maybe...
I think Leroux was pretty low too, no? Leroux, did he get a teen? Yeah, I forget. Yeah. I forget.
Oh, poor QMJHL. You deserve better.
Poor Q, guys.
Josh, thank you for the time. But before you go, obviously you get unlimited time. We don't care. Talk about whatever you want. You can talk about Ottawa. You can talk about your cupboards. You can talk about your dog or your work. Go nuts.
All right, thanks. So obviously you're right in the middle of the U18s right now. So I've got an article coming out every day, 3 stars of the day. Today we're recording this on Sunday. I had the top 10 standouts from the preliminary rounds. It's all on NHLentrydraft.com, and we'll have a bunch more through the tournament and some recaps when the tournament's over, some risers and fallers that'll be on Sporting News, actually. So lots of stuff coming out this week. It's a busy one for me.
Where can they find you?
On Twitter at JoshuaBell31.
Perfect. If you want to find us, you can do that at Locked On Sharks, as usual. If you want to email us for some stupid reason, you can do that at lockedonsharks@gmail.com. Please don't. If you want to go to Facebook or Instagram, because that's where you get your social media news, do that. Locked On Sharks on both. JD's putting up all our stuff there, so he's got you covered. If you DM us there, we'll eventually see it. Twitter's the best way to get a hold of us. If you want to get a hold of me specifically and tell me I'm bad at this, you can do that at Kyle Demetrius. If you want to tell Eric he's great at this, you can do that at foulball15. And if you want to tell Josh that he's awesome at scouting, you can do that at joshuabell31. And then go follow FC Hockey as well, because it's their busy time of season. This is what they do. So Josh, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Thank you for the insight on Xavier Bourgault.
For sure. Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news and every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.